Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
All right, welcome to our Q&A. Monday morning, we're doing it. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us. I'm Tony Bruschi. I'm here. We're going to be talking about a couple different cases today. We're going to start with David, and your questions, please drop them in the comment section on Substack and YouTube and Facebook, and we're going to try and get to them as we go through here. It's impossible to look at the tragic fate of 13-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez without feeling a profound, sickening sense of systematic and familial failure. A highly vulnerable girl cried out for help through three separate disappearances in a single year. Yet, she was met with absolute silence from the adults tasked with protecting her. Now that her remains have been discovered in an impounded Tesla and a 21-year-old pop star is in handcuffs, the entire world is finally starting to pay attention. So how does a child scream so loudly in plain sight, only to be completely ignored until she becomes a horrific true crime spectacle? That's what we are getting into today. David has a, within 24 to 48 hours of the arrest, there's going to be something going on here. He's either going to be charged today, or he's going to be let loose. Very likely charges are going to be coming down. So by the time you're watching or reading this, the charges may have already been made. We're going to assume that they have and discuss the case and your questions. Let's start with our first one. It says, I'm looking at my own kids on their phones and I'm terrified. She was allegedly groomed on Discord back in 2022, right in her own house. How do we even spot this before they walk out the door? And I get it. That's a tough question, especially for parents that have kids that age. I have a daughter exactly that age. And it's a weird one. Because they are on their devices. They are doing this. It's not as easy as it used to be where you had like the family computer and you could kind of keep an eye on what they're getting into. They got their own devices. They got this, they got that. They got their own accounts. What do you do? How do you keep track of that stuff? Robin, what's your thoughts on where this case is sitting and our first question there?
Yeah, so I'll go with the first question first because this is the one that all of us face every single day with our kids. And it's constantly evolving. But we can keep it really simple. And years ago, I was a board member of the Innocent Lives Foundation. And so we face this every day as we're out there trying to uncover nefarious individuals trying to groom our children into doing things that are definitely not in their best interest. And so as with whether it's true crime, recruiting spies, or all those skill sets I learned in all these different areas of my life gave me the skill set to be the number one thing that's the most important to me and you too, Tony, and as well as everyone in our audience, that is being a parent. Because the number one thing you always want to think of is, what am I doing that's going to help or hinder a healthy dialogue and relationship with our children? Because that's the first thing we need to do. We need to have that healthy relationship. So here you are sitting at home. You're thinking, oh my God, this Celeste thing is horrendous. David, this whole thing is horrendous. How do I prevent it? Communication. And then you got to think of what can you do to inspire your kids to want to dialogue with you. Here's the toughest thing ever. You can't judge what's coming out of their mouths. You can't judge the friends. You cannot impose what you think is right or wrong on them yet. You have to discover it. You have to inspire them to want to share it so you can actually work the problem together. That's all life is all about. How do you work these challenges and problems together? Now, you'll have resistance, you'll have all these things, but the most important thing always is to be curious, watch for, and here's the major tell always, watch for behavior pattern changes, because the number one thing that groomers do is isolate their prey. They want to get them isolated. Just look at all the cults we cover. What do all these cults do? They isolate, they control, they shame. They use power over them. And so if you notice a wobble in your children's lives with their communication with you or others or anyone else, that's where you don't overreact. Don't go, oh my God, freak out and judge. And because all you're going to do is isolate them more. They're going to feel more ashamed. You know, you inspire them to share by having them. I remember I had an acronym I used, and one of the first one is in it was T, teach. Have your kids teach you what they're doing. Have them show you and educate you on how they're doing, what they're doing, and most importantly, who's in their lives. The rule in our house, when my kids are in their late 20s now, but even younger, I remember when they were on these gaming platforms, my wife didn't want them to be able to communicate with anyone. You can't talk to anyone online. I'm like, unrealistic, because either you can be part of it and aware of it, or you can outlaw it and they're just going to hide it from you. Yeah. And so the big rule in our house was educate me on who you're talking to so we can have a dialogue and discussion. And so that every time you got off your game or at the end of the day, tell me who you played with. I want to hear about them. I want to hear, you know, if that's what you allow in your house. And so I was always about the number one thing always was transparency. Don't judge it, because that way, if you're not judging it, you can shift it by asking questions. Hey, how is this individual helping you or hindering you with what you want to achieve? How are these behaviors healthy or unhealthy in your lives? Are they doing this? Are they doing this? And so allowing people, including your own kids, to discover choices and consequences for choices hand in hand with you to keep them safe through that communication. Granted, who knows right or wrong. I'm just telling you that's what we did in our house, and that's what I'm always looking for. I'm looking for wobbles and behaviors, and we just address them like this.
Well, and I think the reality is so many parents are parenting in a way that mimics how they were raised. I mean, it's how I was raised. And we look back and go, I wonder why that didn't work out so well, because a lot of it involved isolation, control, and shame.
Yes.
To control. And if you truly want to help that person become an individual that can navigate the world, isolating them, controlling them, and shaming them are not the correct routes. It's inspiring them to do good, to make the right choices. It's not shaming, but that is for so many of us that's so, it's like it's foreign. It breaks the mold of how we thought that this is how you raise children. It's not. I mean, it's not you're not going to get the results you're looking for if that's the way you're doing it. Because guess what? You know what also is happening out there? The predators are using the exact same pattern, the isolation, the control, and the shame.
100%.
It's funny that we end up doing that in our own homes sometimes to prevent people, or in our nearsightedness. Yeah. We think we're protecting our children from predators by doing the exact same shit that they're doing to isolate, control, and shame, and then keep that person over here on the other side. And guess what? It feels familiar to the kids. It feels like home in a certain way.
Yeah.
When someone kind of sneaks in and kind of has the same sort of MO and the same sort of way of handling their emotions and their feelings. Well, dad handles things like that. Mom handles things like that. This person must have my best interest at heart too. But at the end of the day, it never does anything for the actual autonomy of the person to teach them how to deal with the world. I mean, we're looking at it right now quite a bit in the Duggar household. The isolation there, the control, the shame of just having emotions in life. And look at those people. They're not remotely prepared for the real world. And the ones that are spinning out of control seem to be completely clueless that they're even spinning out of control. I completely agree. It is something, I think one of the most powerful things that you've ever said to me, that you've said on the air, is just the words inspire them, because that's the lever that needs to be pulled every time. If you're trying to get something, if you're trying to get somebody, or you're trying to look out for someone's best interest, not just get them to do what you want them to do, but to get them to do what's going to be best for them in your own view. Especially if you're a parent, you're looking out for your kids. You want to inspire them to get there. You can't push them there. You can't shame them there. You're not going to control them there. You're not going to isolate them there. Inspire them. And that's what's key. And if you don't have the tools, you can end up in a frunk, basically.
Yeah. And you know, the bottom line for everything we ever did in my house and still do is always asking that question. Is what you're about to do or say going to help or hinder a healthy relationship with a healthy dialogue? Internal, external, absolutely everything. Because all problems in life are interpersonal problems. All problems in life are relationship problems. And probably the one thing I'm really, really good at, maybe two or three, if I'm lucky, but is I don't, and again, we've talked about this on the show. When I hear crazy shit,
yeah,
I don't freak out. I don't react. I get curious. And so me never reacting in a way that would create walls to go up or a feeling of shame or embarrassment, my kids are never embarrassed to share anything with me. They just share because they know I'm not going to overreact. And if it's a challenge, you don't even hear me say the word problem. If it's a challenge, what better resource it is than work it together? I love working challenges because our household has the philosophy of it's a great rep. As challenging as a situation is with crazy relationships, with unhealthy, toxic people. I mean, my son and I were just talking about today coming back from a camping trip. Some of the crazy situations and people he's dealt with in life. And all we said was, that was a great rep. What did we learn? We were doing after actions on it all day this morning on a drive back from a camping trip. We are just working, constantly reworking. What did we learn? What could be different next time? Not that we would change. We both say this all the times too. All the experiences we have in life makes us who we are. So there's no regrets over choices. But we could probably handle each situation a bit better. How we communicated, how we're being transparent, how we focus on the healthiness versus the unhealthiness. And so as you're facing this, kind of getting back again to the theme of this question, what can we do for our own kids? Inspire them, like you said, unlock it from within them to want to share their lives with you by not shaming them from the choices they're making at a young age.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a big thing too. With there's probably a lot of parents listening right now going, I don't know that I've been doing that. You can change. Start now. Don't dig in and be like, well, it's not how I've been doing. Like, change. Just, you can do better. Everybody can do better. We can always do better. I hope the day I die, I'm like, well, if I had a few more days, I think I might do things a little bit better this way. Because it's always a journey. It's always learning and going from the reps that you have and trying to make better decisions as you progress. There's never just the one answer to everything.
And I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to make sure, because I know we're about to move on. Here's one thing you can do. So here's a typical situation. You hear your kids say something to you. Our typical response is, don't do that. That's, you shouldn't do it that way. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. So anything where you hear them say or do something and you're going to have that, shift it. You can stay on the same time and say, instead of saying you should do it this way, say, hey, what was the outcome you were seeking? What were you hoping to achieve? What were you hoping to do? So in other words, ask a what question with what, you know, in other words, start to help them gauge and think out the consequence of actions. It's like, what were the outcome you were seeking? Was that helping and hindering where you're going? If they're doing something at school or they're doing something with the friends and they said, well, so-and-so said something to me, I say, all right, what do you think the outcome of their actions they were seeking was? Do you think that was against you or for themselves? I mean, so you just keep asking questions non-judgmentally. So it gets their gears in their brain working a little bit more, thinking, playing these things out, doing the thought experiments together with them. And then, anyway.
Yeah, no, I love it. No, I mean, so much of this, I mean, it sounds silly, but it doesn't. Because it's like, it's obvious things, but it's like, it's not so obvious all the time. When you're a parent, you take a step back and go, Okay. Yeah. I could definitely use a refresher on this. I could use some inspiration on this. So I think it's very important to say these things out loud because I don't think a lot of times it's done. Let's go to another question on this specific case. This is from Mark via Patreon. And if you want to join our Patreon, the link is in the description. Do you think David Burke, and this is assuming that he's part of this. So let's just play that. Obviously innocent until proven guilty. Do you think David Burke targeted her specifically because her home life was such a mess? Like, did he see a psychological vacancy and just swoop in to play the savior so she'd willingly leave? It's kind of a loaded question because it almost, it's insinuating predatory behavior. I don't know if it's insinuating that he, you know, targeted her to kill her. I don't think anybody targeted anybody to kill anybody here, quite honestly. But I guess let's go back to the makeup of the relationship, because obviously there's video of the two of them sitting in front of the screen chatting at one point. So did he target her to have that relationship? We don't know the lines of the relationship. Were they just friends? Was it something more? We don't know. So did he target her because she was vulnerable, because her home life was more than a hot mess? What's your thoughts? Again, he was 19 at the time. She was 12, 13, around there. That's the age gap. Is this a predatory someone targeting at this point? I go ahead.
Yeah, targeted is an interesting word, isn't it? I think it was a relationship of opportunity that I think fit both of them where they were at, and they were playing into it because his behaviors are very predatory. I think, again, from what we see and observe from the outside in, who knows? But I really think, because when you look at his background, very religious family, religious background and upbringing, you have very controlled environment. And typically we've been seeing this, we have our own confirmation biases going on right now because we've covered so many cults recently. A lot of times when you come up in such a controlled environment, one thing you're trying to do is exercise your own control. And that's what we kind of see in this situation, where he's exercising potentially some control. And I wouldn't call it targeted, but he saw an opportunity in someone who was looking to make a connection with someone because of something missing in her life, because of lack of healthy relationships in another area of her life. And here he is of a... probably, you know, saying some very good things, some very nice things, giving her validation. So he was doing the grooming behaviors that predators will do when they're targeting someone for horrendous things. Do I necessarily think that was, he was like thinking to himself, oh, I got a target of opportunity, I'm going to get her? No, I don't think it was like that. I think it was literally she came into his sphere of influence that he could see, and he had needs, he had control issues, whatever it was that she kind of fit together like this with that. So I think it was that combined with two brains that are under 24 years old doing stupid, emotionally impulsive, emotionally needy, both of them filling gaps and needs that were not fulfilled with healthy, stronger relationships in their closer immediate circle. And it just has wound up in disaster.
And I have a lot of questions because, like, something inspired her to think that life is better hanging out, you know, allegedly with the David. As, you know, she was lying about her age, allegedly, from many people saying that she was 19 years old. We don't know if David knew her actual age. For all we know, she could have been lying to him the whole time. I'm not trying to make any sort of excuse for him. I'm just trying to look at what cards did the people have in their hands when they were playing them? And what did they believe they had while they were playing them? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think anybody, you know, really does, unless we can find some sort of proof that he knew her actual age. Either way, you got, again, not a lot of life reps here in terms of David either. So having a friend who's, you know, we now know is 13 at the time, if she's saying she's 19, she's coming from an unhappy family life, which a lot of people do, and predators do tend to prey on that. I just don't know if he was preying on that, or if it was he thought he was interacting with another teenager that was coming from an unhappy home, and they became buddies and they became friends, and something horrible happened and they had to cover up a crime of her being dead. I don't know. And I'm not saying that that is exactly what happened. I have no clue, but there's a lot of weird caveats in this case, as far as who knew what and when. And I think that's what, is going to come down to when this gets to court as far as any sort of accountability for life and death and what happened to Celeste Rivas Hernandez. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. But I think, it comes down to a lot of lack of life experience here and how to handle the unexpected.
I think, yes. And, you know, and definitely to the point of one of our listeners, just, you know, it doesn't matter in the eyes of the law. Absolutely, it doesn't, because these are still choices.
Yeah.
What all these people involved really didn't have, kind of going back to our first question that we were talking about, no one had a great, healthy, mature relationship that was a loving critic saying, because, again, I know we talked with Coffendeffer again on Friday about this, you know, and I know your feelings on this too. I don't think this was a intentional murder for whoever did it. This screams of, oops, tragedy had been because we were really stupid and we're morons. And typically when really stupid morons do stupid things, the first thing you should do is let someone who isn't stupid weigh in. It's like, hey, we should call the cops. We should let, you know, we should, when something dumb happens, rational minds, sound minds say we need to bring transparency to this as fast as possible because horrendous mistakes happen from time to time. In order to move through this, we have to have transparency, open, honest communication, and move through it to work the problem that we just created for ourselves and this tragedy that we just created for ourselves and in our family and other families. But my conjecture on this one is that you had a lot of underdeveloped brains doing stupid and doubling down on stupid, making it worse and worse and worse until you wind up with a horrendously decomposed body of her in a Tesla. I mean, how stupid is that? That just rings about the age maturity level of the individuals involved in this.
It really does. It's going to be fascinating as this starts to play through the court system, if it starts playing through the court system. Like I said, as of this recording, he has a court date today. We don't know if he has a court date today. We are expecting charges today is officially what we're looking at. We'll let you know what happens there. We're recording this assuming that they're going to drop. But all of this is relevant based on where we're sitting right now. Again, curious to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue to update this and give you more insight as this all progresses. I know a little bit later in the week, Bob Mott is going to be on with us. And we're going to be discussing kind of the legal end of where this is all sitting. Again, assuming that charges are imminent or have already come down by the time you're watching this. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Let's go over to another case. The pain in this case, the pain that we're talking about the Duggars. I got to get my graphic up back over.
There we go. It's another Duggar day.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is another Duggar day.
Day.
These people haunt me in my nightmares now.
They're too close to you too.
I know.
What are the odds?
I know. This is such a consuming case because it's so angering and it's like so, all of it's so completely preventable. It's such ignorant human beings hiding behind religion to do horrible shit is really, that's the Duggars. The pain in this one cuts deep, especially if you're a parent, a 14-year-old girl finding the courage to speak up about having horrible things happen to her at just 9 years old during what should have been a safe family beach trip. Now watching her accused abuser walk free on bond while the whole Duggar machine spins around in damage control. Joseph is facing serious Florida lewd and lascivious charges, and both he and Kendra are been hit. Him and his wife have been hit with multiple Arkansas counts of child endangerment and false imprisonment. Families everywhere are feeling that familiar gut punch. How do you trust the perfect families you grew up watching when the cracks keep showing? Because all along they weren't the perfect family if you were actually paying attention. And the biggest question hanging over all of it, when does the cycle finally break? Well, I guess when people admit there's something wrong, and when people with inside the problem can't admit there's a problem, it won't. It will never be fixed. It will just keep repeating itself over and over and over like it's doing right now. A lot of you guys have a lot of questions about this. We have a lot of opinions about this. Obviously, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. This is our opinion, blah, blah, blah. Allegedly, this is an opinion piece. So there you go. Just assume that on everything we talk about going forward, okay? Here's one of the questions that we got from you guys on this. This is from Sarah on Instagram. Tony says, I'm a mom of three, and this one has me sick to my stomach. Again, because we're all putting ourselves in this sort of situation. How does something like this even happen on a family vacation with everyone around? I keep thinking about my own kids playing with relatives. Is there any way to spot this before it's too late? Or are we all just one blind trust away from the same nightmare? Well, if the last name is Duggar, here's the thought. Don't have him sitting on a couch with your young daughter and a blanket covering the two of you. Might be, but seriously. Robin, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, question all behavior. I mean, I mean, so think about this, you know, for all the things that we just talked about in the first block about how to have these great open communications and transparency with your kids, and then being able to see wobbles in behavior, same thing here. You would have spotted this as a parent way out in front with red flags waving, with the amount of control that they were exercising. And I'm gonna tweak what you said a little bit, Tony, about, you know, hiding behind religion. Yes, by cherry picking out of what they wanted, because that's exactly, they would cherry pick passages from the Bible to rationalize their abhorrent behavior of control, and most importantly, that all these cults have in common, control over women and the narrative that they want to present it. And so when you have that kind of control, it gives a rationalization to every single behavior that everyone sees. Because even, you know, I just got done, I know you did too, reading Amy Duggar King's book.
Yeah.
If it didn't get authorized to be said and shared by the kingpin, it wasn't allowed, because then you're just stirring up the brethren. So seeing this kind of behavior on a couch between anyone, I don't care if they're the same age or not, you just call out the behavior. People need to be a little more courageous when calling out inappropriate behavior, or when things, hey, because you know what? If nothing's going on, people are like, hey, oh, I'm so sorry. Hey, beach. In other words, when what I'm always doing every single minute when I see something that could be potentially deceptive or an agenda, I love when I talk about deception detection. I kind of shifted away from, I'm not trying to detect deception. I'm trying to uncover hidden agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't like to be called liars and that shields go up, but there's hidden agendas. And so if someone has a hidden agenda under a blanket, hey, I need some transparency here. Let's just take the blanket off, because you know what? It's my fault. I'm a dad. Things make me feel a little uncomfortable. Let's have some transparency. Now, what you should see is, oh my God, I'm so sorry. They should then double down back on the transparency, the apologies. I'm so sorry. It wasn't my intent. And then should be all fine. But if you see people getting defensive, if they're rationalizing behavior, oh, nothing's going on here. Oh, really? That means I'm doubling down on get the fuck away.
Yeah. So, and it makes it so sick. I mean,
tempo. Always one of tempo.
One of the most disturbing phrases that's come out of this is Joseph allegedly saying, I believe it's in a police report. I don't remember exactly where it falls in this minutia of bullshit. But there is something where the effect was, he had impure intentions or impure thoughts.
That's just
all using the word unpure intentions and the word 9-year-old in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. What the fuck? I mean,
that's a predator. It's a predator rationalizing behavior. Tony, it's a predator rationalizing behavior. That is all that is. And so that's why predators flock to organizations like IBLP, because they have a script of language to use to rationalize the predatory behavior over women.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that. But children, that's exactly what they do, because they rationalize behavior. And because now they make it a sin to not give forgiveness. And so it's almost like they seek out opportunities to share my abhorrent behavior, my moral failings, because it's on you. They start victim blaming, saying you need to forgive me for resolution. And redemption, because then I can have a ministry and you can pay me for my ministry.
Exactly.
And you're not allowed to divorce me, and you're not allowed to leave me, because then you're stirring up the brethren. See, I mean, I'm starting. It's, you know, insane. What's really sick? I'm getting the freaking language down. It's sick, but that's how they're able to hide this. And as we've learned in the fantastic works that we read by both Jill Duggar and then Amy on The Cousin, you know, unless and also in you know the whole Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein, all these people, unless you actually have a victim come forward and say what was done to them personally by specific so-and-so, and even in a lot of these cases without evidence or someone corroborating it, it's not going to be a conviction. There's not even going to be, so that's how these cult cultures of abusing people take root. Because then what sick MF-er in the world doesn't want to come to that group and organization because they can be who they are and abuse women so poorly, so obsessively. Anyway, I'm on
what makes me sick about that is I mean, obviously this is the concept, but the fact that an adult could say that sentence out loud and somehow think it's going to land in some way, shape, or form, and it's not going to be just like a screaming of like, well, that you've told me all I need to know right there. The fact that you're saying that out loud like that, as if you're downplaying this, it's something not quite as bad as, like, it's just how disconnected from reality can you possibly be? The answer is quite a bit, and Amy King Duggar really spells it out beautifully in her book, Holy Disruptor, which is, I highly recommend getting it. I'm just finishing it, and Amy's going to be on the show here. I've been talking with her off the air, and I got to say, I knew that the Duggar situation was shitty and dirty and sick, and you feel like you want to bathe in Purell, like, eternally after watching it. It's so much worse than I even thought. I mean, it's just, it's so gross. It's so sick. It's so disturbing. It's all about isolation. It's about control, and it's about shame. And
the fear of falling outside the umbrella.
And fear, all under the umbrella, and it's all under one umbrella. And if you go outside of that, you can do basically, you know, the people who hold the umbrellas can basically do anything they want with them. And if you want to get out from under that umbrella, good luck. They're like, you're a witchcraft. It's witch. You're a witch. You're evil. It's bad. It's the devil. Anybody who's telling you differently, it's the enemy coming in. No, it's not. It's actually reality coming in to shine a giant light on the evils that are the IBLP and the religion of the Duggars, in my opinion.
You know, what's kind of crazy, Tony, is I was doing some research, and I was trying to actually come up with the term that scientifically from the DSM for someone who actually has an obsessive need for control. You know what? The only thing they came up with, control freak. I mean, there's a technical term of it. You know, these
really,
people are such utter control freaks that this is all. This is what they have to have. It's the ultimate control they're trying to exercise, and just the amount of.
I mean, it's a weird. I've been trying to come up with a word. It's weaponized religiosity with a side of malignant narcissism. I mean, it's malignant religious narcissism. I don't know if that's a thing.
And you know, it really took hold too during this, as we're watching this play out from the beginning. As I, you know, Jill, I thought really did a good job in her book. Kind of,
I got to read that one yet. Yeah,
going from beginning and then through. You know, so here's Jim Bob, the way he grew up, and you find out about what he went through a lot through
horrible,
yeah. Right through Amy's vision because of her mother being the sister of Jim Bob. Mm-hmm. You kind of see how he gravitated towards IBLP because the amount of control he wanted to have in his life, right?
Yeah.
So you can see that his intentions were so good to do this, but then when you saw that old powerful dollar come creeping in there, man, you see that entire intent from the outside in. And when you are in an organization, in a system that gets rid of loving critics. Like a lot of people's loving critic in their life is their spouse, their partner in life. They're the ones that actually get to weigh in and say, hey, you're doing a little nutter things here. My wife is mine. I mean, every opportunity in my life that comes along, she always says, my loving critic says, why you? Why are you special? You know, that like makes you pause. So like, all right, maybe they are trying to do this, maybe this. So it's a partnership. You know, but when you are actually in a system that creates no partnerships, one authority at the top with no loving critic, and you start falling in love with the almighty dollar because TLC comes and says how special you are, and then you rationalize your behavior like I have now have a ministry.
Yeah.
And I get to hold everyone's behavior, and that my children get they are resources for me. They don't get to earn their own money. It's my money for the ministry. I mean, oh my God.
And I'm doing the best thing for them because I know what's best. And I was failed by the people that were above me. So, but I'm doing it of a pure intent. I can see it. I mean, I can look at this at the greater picture, and I can see how the recipe was made. Yep. And I don't know anything about what, you know, I mean, I have no idea how anything off, you know, the air of how Jim Bob was to his children. And I'm not accusing him of anything. But from what we understand and what's been publicly said about his own upbringing, it was horrible. It was filled with abuse, isolation, control, shame. I mean, I get where someone walks out of that sort of environment and starts their life and they're searching for something, but all they know are extreme levers of control as being the only way to function and the only way to handle things. So it's in my opinion, it was almost like he went out into the world and repeated the cycle, but in a very different way. He created the atmosphere of isolation, control, and shame under the guise of love. And I believe he thought it was love. It probably is love to him in whatever version it is, and how he believes it is. I don't believe like he set out going, we're going to create a bunch of predators here. Nobody does that. I don't think that's what anybody in that group does. But inadvertently, through their short-sightedness and their lack of reps in the world and how human beings interact in psychology and all of that, the lack of reps or consideration or wanting to learn anything outside of what's already in your brain. He made the recipe for this. He made the recipe for his kids to go out and become predators in the world. By the way he was raised, by the isolation, by not teaching them shit, by not teaching them respect for women, the way that I guess I think should be taught, not just that they're, you know, to be cooking and cleaning and making babies, which is essentially, allegedly, how he viewed the world of women. And unfortunately, he has a home full of women and nieces he has a niece that's a woman too, and very much against college, education, going out, blazing your own way, having any sort of autonomy or sense of how to deal with the world. The recipe was there. And at the end of the day, there's consequences for your actions, Jim Bob. You built this world. This is a recipe you followed to raise these kids. And now guess what? The recipe went bad and it tastes like shit. And everybody's spitting it out going, my God, what's wrong with these people? And you're like, well, pray more. Let's read some more Psalms. Let's use it as a... No, shut the fuck up. Admit what you did that was wrong and try to correct it so their grandkids don't repeat the same freaking cycle. But, you know, it's just, it's more dig in. It's love bomb those who are going to expose us and circle the wagons and hope to God nobody figures out what the hell's happening. Newsflash, everybody already has.
Yeah, and you hit the key word, correct. When you have systems, I've said it on the show before, you know, Noah Harari wrote the book Sapiens, Homo Deus, and Nexus. Nexus is the evolution of communication in Homo sapiens over our entire span of existence. And as the anthropologists and research will tell you, we are only successful as a species when we can actually self-correct. And when we have self-correcting documents like the Constitution, you can put amendments in there, as flawed as things are, but it's fine. But when you can do the after-action report, when horrendous things go sideways and happen, you then do an after-action report, you have lessons learned, and then you correct the rules, processes, and procedures, the standard operating procedures, the documents of IBLP and how you exist, and what that structure is like. When you see a flaw in a structure, you should be self-correcting to make an amendment so it doesn't happen again. They are doubling down on crazy, stupid nutter crap, and that's why they has two in the same family. At least one convicted, the other accused, right?
Yeah, yeah. And let's see how the numbers keep going.
As the organization was founded by a super nutter with, I think it was 30 accusations?
Allegations, yeah. Never charged with anything, never, you know.
Yeah, that's why I said accusations.
He's waiting out his days right now.
I'm sure those 30 girls made it all up.
Yeah. The wrath can't come soon enough. Bring the Grim Reaper on for Bill Gothard. One other, I saw a comment here. I wanted to,
I know we've had some good ones.
Yeah.
Today.
This one here, Jim Bob has a creepy amount of interest in his kids' S lives. They literally give them instruction pamphlets on their wedding. They do. Yeah. It's part of the wisdom books of Gothard. And I was reading one the other day. It's the one about S, and it's so insane. I mean, and number one, it's written by someone who's never been married, never had kids, but he's telling you everything of how to do all this stuff. And it's 1,000% written. You'd think Brian Koberger wrote it. Or the 40-year-old virgin, basically, because it's so operational. And there's so many unnecessary things that are talked about in there. It's very much procedure for impregnating your wife. It's basically all it is. Go through this. It's nothing about her enjoyment of it. It's just like, get to the, accomplish the mission, basically. And then there's stuff about how, about for the men to enjoy, but nothing about her whatsoever. I mean, it's so screwed up. Actually, next week, I'm doing a 5-part series. Our cult series next week is about Gothard's workbooks. We're going to go through and break down in 5 different episodes as much as we can in the workbooks, because it's insane. It's just, I mean, it's like, it's comedy gold at the end. If it weren't so sad, it is comedy gold, I'm telling you. But yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thing. I mean, how weird and creepy too. They're grown ass adults and you're giving your kids pamphlets about how to do it.
Control. I mean, yes. it starts at, you know, it's interesting too, just researching, it's a great question for Amy. I can't wait to ask her about this too, because lying is a mortal sin to the IBLP. Mm-hmm. Yet Jim Bob repeatedly lied and misdirected about what was going on in his own household with definitely Josh, who's in prison for it.
And we couldn't remember. And then the judge said, get out of my courtroom, you idiot.
Right. But there's so many times where he would downplay, where he'd rationalize, where he'd obfuscate. I mean, he just, and yet when put in, at the greater context, they rationalize that as saying, well, it's for the greater good. So if the greater good is being served by the top of the umbrella, then it's okay. So again, just the rationalization of, you know, it's funny. They're so selective with what sins they pay attention to in their own doctrine.
It's very much, you know, it's like someone saying, you got an excuse for everything. They do. They have a safeguard for like an excuse for every horrible piece of behavior done by the men, because essentially the men are infallible at the end of the day. Yes. As long as they say, whoopsie, then everybody has to forgive them. And if you don't forgive them, then it's on you. You're the bad person. You're the witch. You're not following God's umbrella of words.
Right. If you don't do that, if you stir up the brethren, you could fall outside the umbrella of protection and bad things could happen. God could take away your car. He could blow up your house.
I know. That's what I love is the ominous, bad things can happen. I mean, it's such like a 8-year-old way of thinking about shit, isn't it?
Then when these poor kids, you know, when you grow up in this and then you're told that you have to have the sweet voice, you can only talk this way because they're not allowed to have any negative emotions. They cannot voice any negative emotions. And you're like, it is the most control you'll ever see anywhere in the world. They're trying to control emotions, they're controlling your sex life, they're controlling absolutely everything about you. And if you say anything about it, then you're outside the umbrella of protection, and then bad things can happen. God's going to smite you and blow up your house, take your car, take all your money. It's just like, you can't get me. That's how these things work, man.
It is. It's insane. It's sickening. And far more power to the folks who are able to get the hell out of there and shed light on
a lot
this.
Of bravery to do that.
Amy King Duggar is Duggar King is going to be on the show here with us in the next couple of days. So press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. And we're going to have an in-depth conversation, the three of us, about what the hell's going on.
Brave young woman.
Very much so. Do check out her book. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. One more case here today that I'd like to chat about. Caleb Flynn. This is a trial that if all stays on track is coming up fairly soon. It's impossible to look at the brutal murder of 37-year-old Ashley Flynn, his wife, without feeling a profound, sickening sense of betrayal. A beloved middle school teacher, volleyball coach, mother of two, she was allegedly shot to death in her own bed, allegedly by the man who vowed to protect her. Now her husband, a former American Idol contestant and worship pastor, God, we can't get out of a church today, can we? Sits in jail, facing 11 charges. The facade of their perfect Christian family has completely shattered. How does a man sing praises on stage and profess his love on national television only to allegedly orchestrate a chilling staged execution while her two young daughters sleep just down the hall? Just down the hall. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Sarah on Facebook says, I'm sick over the rumors that he was having an affair with a pregnant 23-year-old and that text message at 12:42 a.m. saying, it's almost done. Was this a calculated execution so he could just start a new life without the mess of divorce? That's speculation on rumors. Innocent until proven guilty, if he was having this affair and this text came through, that's pretty blunt.
It's something like that. When you look up the averages and the profiles of who typically commits these types of crimes, it's someone like this. It's someone who, like the spouse that does this. Again, innocent until proven guilty, but he fits the pattern. So when you look at his background, you look at the wife's background, you look at family background, because that's the first thing I do in every single case. I look at the types of relationships they have, the type of people in their lives. And so you can start seeing, is this a pattern of what their normally wacky lives and horrendous lives are doing? Or was there an impetus? Was there a spike? Was there an outside event that caused it? And if the rumors are correct in saying that he had some sort of extramarital affair, there's a spike outside the norm that typically will cause some to do stupid things, especially if the awareness of this other relationship or things that are byproducts of relationships, which are unwanted pregnancies or anything like that, and it would damage or tarnish a very controlled image of yourself, of a church-going pastor, then that creates people to do really stupid things. And so if you're looking for patterns of potential behavior in there, I think that's what the cops have probably seen, why the arrest warrant was finally issued for him. And also, from what we know, it was done with his weapon, his gun, his 9mm. He's the only, him and the daughter survive. It's like targeted home invasion, killing her only. And you see how everything just starts falling apart with the narrative that he's trying to portray.
Well, the narrative is interesting, and this kind of ties into a question here that Mike gave us. It says, I cannot get past the sheer stupidity of this staged break-in. He claims an intruder came in through the side garage door, but responding officers found it was blocked from the inside by a massive refrigerator. Did he really think the cops wouldn't notice he allegedly used a 9mm from his own truck that had the open console in it and that people would believe? Here's my thought on this, and I'm curious to get your thought, Robin. People that are malleable to believe BS, and I'm not calling religion BS, but people who are easy to believe what people are going to tell them, and maybe it's magical thinking in some way, shape, or form. People who are easily influenced in that way, are these also the same people who are going to believe that others are going to believe their own BS? Because they're very apt to just take other people at their word if they use the right words. In many cases, Jesus, God, religion, things of that. Well, must be a good person. They said God. And a lot of people get bamboozled that way. Are these same people just as vulnerable because they are vulnerable to that on their own end into saying stupid shit when they're trying to sell their own story because they assume that others are going to be just as naive as they are to the world around them.
I'm not sure about his gullibility or susceptibility to outside influences and perceptions like that. But I think, you know, to what you're saying is exactly this. When you're surrounded by people and you're a pastor that you're very, very used to your only outside interactions, completely believe everything you're saying because you're on the pulpit, you're doing the gospels, you're giving your sermons every week, and everyone is buying in 100% of what you're sharing, and you have that confirmation bias that, hey, I can say anything and they'll believe me, and people like me, they believe me. They could never imagine in a million years that I would do something like this. It emboldens you to think that everyone thinks that way about me. Who could possibly? In other words, if it's the old adage, you know, if you're in the middle of this torrential monsoon, thunderstorm, hurricane, you think the entire world is in a monsoon hurricane. Meanwhile, it's only about this big. You take one step this way, and it's clear skies and sunny, you know, on a sunny day outside. Mm-hmm. But because you're surrounded by the maelstrom, you think that's all there is. If you're surrounded by a lot of people that believe all this stuff you're saying coming out of your mouth and you think the entire world loves you and beloves you, you don't realize, dude, your congregation's about 100 people or 200 people. You know, when someone more objective gets outside that circle and you try spewing that crap, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? You're an idiot. And it's also very obvious that when people do these things, none of them watch true crime shows like ours because you're like, you're doing the stupidest shit in the world. Trying to stage something to cops is the dumbest thing in the world you could possibly do because you just can't. It's literally impossible because people like this, they don't play these things out because what happens is if you logically play out, all right, if I do it this way and they ask, all you got to do is go down one or two questions beyond the actual action that you're trying to portray. You'll say, well, I can't do it that way. I got to do it this way. I mean, and what happens is you finally run out of things you could logically come up with explanations for, and you come to the logical conclusion, I shouldn't do stupid shit because I'm going to be found out because none of it will play out well. None of it. Yeah. People get away with this by mistake rather than by design when it does happen.
Yeah, I mean, because telling people, the cops, oh, they came in through this door over here and then happened to go and know he had a gun in his truck and took, I mean, it's such a bullshit story.
And also 911 calls. You know, 911 calls are the most telling things that give cops the first clue of where to look when it comes to perpetrators, because you always got to look at the focus. Where is the focus? Even you can rehearse all you want to say the greatest 911 call in the world, but what happens? If you have incongruence between words and emotions, that leaks out all the time. If you don't give a rat's ass towards the individual that was just killed in front of you or by you or whatever it is, no matter what you say is going to be incongruence between words, actions, and deeds on that 911 call, and a skilled investigator with even 1 or 2 years on a force is going to listen to that and say, we need to look here. And that 911 call he gave was exactly that one more time. Again, innocent until proven guilty, but there's a lot of interesting things on that 911 call. Can I tell you the one thing that stuck out to me more than anything on that one?
Yeah.
A lot of times, people that commit the crimes like to distance themselves either from the individual, the crime itself, or not be part of it. There is, when I'm listening to the 911 call, he said, when the 911 caller said, where is she? Meaning his wife. He said, she's in the bed, not our bed. It's just an interesting non-possessive pronoun used, gives a interesting shift between how he viewed the bed versus our bed. Anyway, just tidbit of a one word shift. And I was like, oh, that was interesting.
That is. I mean, it's when you're in that position and you're because the weight. Again, because it's such a ridiculous excuse that he gave to the police, and they're going to hammer him for this in court. I think it is true. The reps that he has in telling people things that they believe. Because people will take what he says a little more serious, I think, than just Joe Blow or me, someone who, if we're talking to people at that church, if you will, they're going to take what he's going to say, his testimony about whatever, as having more weight, more legitimacy, more trust, because he's in that position of authority and power involving God, involving his church. So if he's to say something and his interpretation of something is what it is, oh, well, they'll take a little more seriously versus somebody who doesn't have that sort of position. And I think him being in that position over and over and just being believed on his own will and probably a lot of reps, in my opinion, and my guess of probably BSing people, you fail to start to realize how deep the water gets in the pool as quickly as it does.
Yeah, he fell in love with his own credibility. Yeah.
Exactly.
I thought he's more credible than he
actually
is.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you do. You fall in love with your own credibility, and you think that it holds more weight than it actually does. Another thing here, Amanda from YouTube, the witness intimidation charges are terrifying to me. Their two young daughters were in the house for 3 days between what happened, the murder, and Caleb's arrest, and are now the center of the no-contact order. What on earth did he say or do to those poor girls to warrant those specific charges? Well, I'm guessing there was probably some storytelling going on, don't you think?
Well, yeah, especially if he's arrested under this, you know, being suspicious of doing this and then being accused of doing this, that's a violent act against someone at the house. I mean, that's child custody. I mean, yeah, you're going to remove kids from the same household because the amount of times, you know, spouses are taken out and children, that's more common than anything. And then, mm-hmm. If he's under suspicion and being accused of doing this, that means he's murdered someone at least once. Why wouldn't he murder more? I mean, And so, first of all, it's the threat of violence against them is why they're removing him from that household. You know, regardless of him witness tampering or anything like that, protect the children.
Yeah, and these are the only people that are going to be able to say what they experience, and it's coming from children, which is not always great in court. It's a hard witness to have.
I think there'll be more.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they say and what they say dad told him to say is going to be what I...
Yeah, you're right. I think between what the kids say and the leakage you're going to have from people around him. And so here you are, a pastor, your wife is involved with the school. I mean, they had a lot of outside interactions, and the amount of leakage that they're going to have about what was going on at home is going to be pretty... I would think it's going to be pretty substantial. And then when you start getting incongruencies between stories, between what he's saying, what the kids are saying, what outsiders are saying from what they observed, what they saw, what they heard, text messages, all these things are going to really be playing a lot. I think law enforcement has a lot to work with on this one. I know the defense attorney said, they need to give more time. You know, 3 days isn't long enough to investigate this. It might have been more than enough just because... Who else? I mean, just the whole, all you got to do is Google the probability of an outsider coming into your house and killing your wife randomly. It was just like...
Well, and getting your gun out of your truck through a door you can't go through.
I'm not laughing. I'm laughing at the stupidity, not at the crime. It's the most horrendous thing. But you're like, I'm telling you, how many times do we say this on the show? You know, if these people had three marbles rolling around upstairs, they wouldn't have to resort to things like this. Stupid people do things like this because they have nothing going on upstairs.
Well, that and narcissists, stupid people, sometimes they're one and the same.
Emotional intelligence, but zero.
At the end of the day, I always say it, narcissism wins. And if he thought he was going to get away with this because he told himself a story over and over, that's narcissism. And guess what won? Narcissism. Not the narcissist. He's going down for this. I mean, at least innocent until proven guilty, but it's acting on it. It's believing that you can tell that story and people are going to believe it. It's thinking you're going to get away with this for all those days, that this is all just going to work out okay. When you practice it, when you believe it, it will take you out. And that's why, I mean, unfortunately, other people do get taken out too. But so many times, if you're not in a dangerous situation with a narcissist or a malignant narcissist, someone who's not, we all have narcissistic tendencies, but one that's just, this is their modality for everything. If you're not in any sort of dangerous situation and they're not in a danger to others and they're doing shit, just let them. Let them, because
that's what I call the great show.
Because they will destroy themselves, guaranteed. Yeah. Step in if it's a danger to yourself or others. But if they're just going to kind of self-destruct on their own path of delusion, go ahead. said, you don't need to waste your energy. They will do it for you. It's really quite amazing to watch. All right, there you go.
Big, we solved all the problems of the world today.
Big ball of narcissists today.
Self-serving control freaks.
Oh, my God. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in. Robin's latest book, it is out. Go get it. Leave a review.
Speaking of narcissists.
Yeah, it's not all about me. In case you're a narcissist, this might be the book that helps you today.
Or you know someone in your life. Give it as a gift.
As a gift. Dear asshole, sign it. Yeah, give it as a, yeah. Anyway, check it out wherever you get books. It's a good read. And it's not super long. It's like a great one where you can, you know, if you're going for a drive or a bit of a commute or something, maybe
3.5 hours if you listen to me on Audible.
You can knock it out in a flight. And it's a good one. It's when you walk away from going, this is good. All right.
Thank you.
Check that out. And until next time, for Todd, for Robin, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk. Breathe. Rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.